Religion and its leaders generally get pretty bad press these days. But what if religious leaders got together in a spirit of mutual respect, seeking out the things they shared in common and celebrating their differences?
If this is sounding pretty good, then let's take things one step further. These same religious leaders turn this philosophy into a program for school children and take it to our schools. This is exactly what Rabbi Zalman Castell and Sheikh Hassan Farash have done, joining forces with Christian leaders and Aboriginal elders in Together for Humanity. Sheikh Hassan Farash is a highly educated imam, lawyer, writer and teacher, whose educational qualifications are frankly humbling, while his commitment to the fostering of interfaith relationships through Together for Humanity is just inspiring. Rabbi Zalman Castell is the National Director of Together for Humanity. He's a Hasidic rabbi and Hebrew school principal at Chabad House North Shore in Sydney. He was ordained as a rabbi after study in the UK, Australia and the US, and completed a graduate diploma in education with the University of New England at Armidale. I'm very pleased to say that both of these distinguished leaders have joined me in the studio. Rabbi and Sheikh, welcome to Arts Wednesday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, I want to ask the same question to both of you. First, perhaps I'll start with you, Rabbi Castell. Your CV tells us that you were raised in the ultra-Orthodox Hasidic traditions in the Crown Heights area of Brooklyn in New York. You looked at the world through the lens of the absolute traditions and narrative of this community until 2001, when encounters with Christians and Muslims transformed you. These are your words. And you continue to say that on your journey you've had a lot of laughter, surprises and dilemmas. And I was wondering if you'd like to share with us what was the biggest change in your attitude?
The biggest change for me was recognizing that a lot of what I took for granted was one path amongst others. Not necessarily all paths are equal. I don't know that I need to make those kind of judgments. But recognizing that there are other people that not only have different answers to the questions, but ask different questions. And being able to get out of my own cultural worldview and sort of take on someone else's clothes, so to speak, or mental clothes, and just look at the world through their eyes.
Was it hard?
Yeah, it was. It seems very simple, but it's very easy to get wrong, because I think I found that some of the assumptions I had were unconscious. I didn't even know that they were there. It was just normal. I mean, the funniest expression of this actually wasn't mine. It was an Indian religious leader in Brisbane, and he tells this story about when he first got married, his wife opened all the mail, and he thought that was quite outrageous because it was his personal correspondence, and he told her that, and she, from that day on, never opened his post again. Afterwards, we were having a chat, and his wife was there as well, and she said she grew up in a big family, and everybody had this thing that run to the door, and whoever got there first, they'd open all the mail for the whole family, distributed everybody, and it was just very laid back. So I turned to this religious leader, and I said, "You've done well. You know, she's adapted your way of doing things. Have you reciprocated?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Can you tell me how?" And the wife is sort of standing there and looking, and he says, "Oh, I don't open her mail either."
Sheikh, what about you? I'm presuming that, like Rabbi Castell, there was nothing in your background and upbringing that prepared you for this path you've undertaken with Together for Humanity. What was your biggest change in attitude?
Actually, I grew up on Sydney's North Shore, so I grew up with a vast mix of different people from different races and different backgrounds. And growing up, I was just a knockabout sort of a bloke, and went to the beach and played footy, hung out with my mates. I was quite typical in terms of my upbringing, a typical Australian in terms of my upbringing. And in my spiritual travels and in my spiritual teachings, we're very open. And the teachings in Islam are open to the wayfarer and the guest and the person that you don't know and your neighbour, to look after these people and to make sure that you try and fulfil their obligations as people and be kind to these people and interact with them. So it was kind of a natural progression for me rather than dramatic change in life.
Right.
The only, I suppose, sticking point maybe was the fact that you know, the conflict that's going on overseas in Palestine, Israel, and the feelings of attachment and association that I personally have with, you know, with what's going on over there, that was probably the biggest sticking point in overcoming that. And actually, the first time that I met Rabbi Zelman was at the mosque. I was at Ataman Mosque. I was the imam there. It was after a Friday sermon, and he came along with one of the Christian directors of Together for Humanity. And I was a bit reluctant, but my tradition, as I said, teaches us to be open, teaches us to be hospitable, teaches us to give people the benefit of the doubt as well. So I met Rabbi Zelman and we spoke, and what he said made a lot of sense, but I still didn't want to really be involved because of those issues going on overseas. But out of hospitality, which is what my tradition teaches me, the best and the most hospitable thing that I could do was be involved. And so I accepted, and after that, as they say, the rest is history.
Right. So you both didn't go directly into a path with great ease. But talking about the path, this we're Together for Humanity, Rabbi, I wonder if you'd tell us, for you are the national director, about the origins. Who started it and when did it start?
The activity itself started in the first school was in 2002. The seed was planted, I guess, a bit earlier. Joe Sheridan is a quarantine officer. He was studying theology, and he rang me at the synagogue out of the blue and said he wanted to talk about religion. And also out of politeness, I guess, it was 6 o'clock in the evening. I just finished teaching an after-school group, and the last thing I wanted to do was have this conversation. But I didn't want to be rude, so I said I would come in. I thought I'd give him 15 minutes. And for me, it was really an eye-opener because of just his very deep compassion and idealism really moved me. And for me, it was a penny-drop moment that whatever I saw as most noble and altruistic and beautiful in my own faith tradition could have an expression that was just as beautiful, perhaps greater, in people of other faiths.
So tell me, Rabbi, did this Joe Sheridan that came to you, it wasn't then called for Together for Humanity, it was then an idea?
And then when he rang, it was just a conversation. It was he was going to church and he was looking at all the ideals in the scriptures and the reality of everyday human organization, and that discrepancy bothered him. So when we met, it was just a conversation that didn't have any purpose at that stage. It evolved, I guess, with the backing of the synagogue that I'm connected with, now very much part-time. I'm only there on the weekends, but at the time I was working there full-time, called the Chabad House on the North Shore. So they were interested in seeing something more come of this. I met with a Muslim filmmaker who was quite politically active and wanted to deal with anti-Muslim prejudice after September 11. And that sort of got the ball rolling.
It got the ball rolling, and out of that comes Together for Humanity. What is its mission? If you had to state as briefly as possible, what Sheikh, perhaps you'd like to answer that. What is the mission of Together for Humanity?
Change the world, I think.
Nothing less.
That's a start, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, that's the long term. But, I mean, I guess in
more of a joke.
More specifically, it's helping students and supporting their teachers in overcoming prejudice and replacing that with collaboration for the common good.
And I know that also from the website, and we've spoken about it before, that it's not just the Muslim and Jewish religious leaders, partners in your Together for Humanity. You have Christian leaders and Aboriginal elders.
Yeah, the board is also divided up in that way, the board of Together for Humanity. There's a portion of Christian directors, Jewish directors and Muslim directors, and also the facilitators and presenters of the actual programs involve a variety of people, including Aboriginal elders, people of no particular faith as well.
Right. Okie doke then. Now, I know that currently you are in primary schools, and I do want to talk about the curriculum and how it's taught, but I think it's time for us to listen to a little bit of music and then come back and continue our conversation. If you have just joined us, I'm Sylvia Rosenblum. This is Arts Wednesday here on 89.7. If you're listening to us on your FM dial, if you are online, you are at www.eastsidefm.org.